Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. We have a busy docket, so let's get right to it. First, Brian Laundrie's parents say, trust us, we don't know anything. Second, a description of the power that the Murdochs had in South Carolina. R. Kelly wishes he could fly far, far away. The TikTok shooter goes NGRI. A California woman is no Smokey the Bear. And then finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. The channel where a practicing criminal defense attorney explains the facts, the procedure, and the law to cold cases and current true crime cases. Welcome. If you haven't done so, please hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up, and hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live. And as always, please leave me a comment about what we discussed today. And don't forget, you can listen to this show and past shows by downloading Crime Talk on all of your favorite podcasting apps like Apple and Spotify. But before we do so, let's talk about crimetalkprep.com. All right, listen, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. There's a lot of supply shortages in the world, and it's even impacted one's food supply. And you never know when there's going to be an emergency. You need to be prepared. Go to crimetalkprep.com and sign up and get your 3 months, that's right, $100 off and 3 months of your emergency food kit. Now this stuff provides at least 2,000 calories per day and it lasts up to 25 years. Go to crimetalkprep.com, be prepared. All right, on to the docket. First, the Gabby Petito matter. Well, the parents of Gabby Petito's fiance, Brian Laundrie, affirmed that they do not know his whereabouts 2 weeks after he was last seen. Now, their attorneys released the statement Monday night stating, quote, Chris and Roberta Laundrie do not know where Brian is. They are concerned about Brian, and we hope the FBI can locate him, end quote. That was through the attorney, Stephen Bertolini. Now, there's speculation by the public and some in the press that the parents assisted Brian in leaving the home in a way of avoiding arrest or on a warrant was issued after Brian had already been missing for several days is just wrong, according to their spokesperson. And the Laundrie parents obviously told investigators on September 17th that they had not seen him for 3 days earlier when he left their home with a backpack, saying that he was going to the nearby Carlton Reserve, the sprawling swampland that stretches over 25,000 acres in southwest Florida. Now, Brian Laundrie left his parents' home without his cell phone and his wallet, and his parents are concerned that he might hurt himself. Now, local police spent more than 10 days unsuccessfully combing through the Carlton Reserve, and the FBI, which has kind of taken over the case, is leading a more targeted search based upon intelligence and not just mere speculation that he may still be in that particular area. Now, the FBI did visit the parents' home to get personal items that would assist with a DNA match. Now, Laundrie has not been explicitly connected to Gabby Petito's death. Still, a federal warrant for his arrest accuses him of illegally using another person's debit card and PIN number on August 30th and September 1st. It is a little surprising that there is not an arrest warrant for murder. However, remember, you can only get a warrant if you have probable cause. Now, there is no statute of limitations on murder. The FBI should do things correctly and don't basically leap too soon and maybe not have all their ducks in a row, and it could jeopardize a case against young Brian Laundrie if he is in fact ultimately charged. I really don't particularly like this guy. I think he's going to turn into a three-ring circus. But Dog the Bounty Hunter announced this week that he is going to help in the search for Brian Laundrie. And there's now possible evidence, according to him and Brian's parents, that they were at a campsite thanks to two camping reservations under their name on September 1 through 3 and September 6 through 8. Now, it's been reported that the Laundries were seen driving with a small camper, so it is believed this is where they went, but there's only speculation that Brian was actually with them. Now, Dog the Bounty Hunter received a tip that Brian was spotted at the campsite as recently as Saturday. I doubt that's really going to be the case, but hey, you never know. Apparently, you know, if you don't have any communication, you have no idea that the entire world is looking for you, apparently. Anyway, Old Dog plans to head to Fort DeSoto Park area himself and continue tracking the leads. Dog has alerted authorities to the campground location because he believes that it could be a major clue in the manhunt. Not really sure, unless he just happens to be hanging around there, what exactly that would be, other than obviously that he was there. Now, another piece to the Gabby Petito puzzle. A man who apparently was on a road trip in Montana in late August believes that he saw Brian Laundrie the day before Laundrie's girlfriend, Gabby Petito, was last seen alive. Hunter Mannies is the name. He's 44, and he says that he was traveling in West Yellowstone on August 26 when he saw a man resembling Brian Laundrie at a bar called Bullwinkle Saloon. Brian was apparently by himself at the bar and then joined a group and only joined the conversation to say, "Stupid Southerners and effing Republicans." Manny's friend reportedly responded, "Stupid Southerners? Question mark. She and I both have doctors in front of our names. Do you?" Manny's said he then tried to engage the man, asking where he was from. When the man said he was from New York, Maddie said, "Okay, New York." And he said, "I have a name. It's Brian." This is all according to this Mr. Manny's. Manny's then asked him, "Let me ask you this, New York. What do you expect to find in a small town in the middle of nowhere, Montana? Did you expect to find a bunch of Democrats?" Manny said that he felt that Laundrie was alone, wasn't interacting with the bartenders, and stood out as somewhat odd. Now, a recent video was also released of Gabby Petito when she was 14 years old. She appeared in a music video for a tribute song for the victims of the 2012 Sandy Hook shooting, which was a school shooting massacre. In the video, she holds a sign that says, quote, "I'm irreplaceable," end quote, which is a little eerie now. The woman who wrote the song and filmed the video said, "Just remember, it was really hard for everybody because of the subject matter, and Gabby was such a bright light, even at 14. In the latest Petito case, the chief of police in Moab is taking a leave of absence amid an investigation into his department's handling of the Gabby Petito case. Police Chief Brett Edge announced his departure from the role this morning after an announcement of the investigation. The investigation will be looking into the department's alleged mishandling of the possible domestic violence episode between Petito and her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, before she went missing. Now, the interaction between Moab police, Brian Laundrie, and Gabby Petito is all on body cam and available on Crime Talk YouTube page if you have not had a chance to watch it. Some have criticized the Moab Police Department's handling of the incident between the two lovers, now alleging that not enough was done to remove Petito from a potentially dangerous situation. At the time, the city of Moab is unaware of any breach of police department policy during the incidents, they said in a statement. However, the city is going to conduct a formal investigation, and based on the results, the city will take any necessary next steps that may be appropriate. And finally, today there was a press conference with Gabby Petito's family. Obviously, they were thanking the FBI and the police, and obviously want Brian Laundrie to come forward. They wouldn't get into a lot of specifics about the case, but they all apparently got tattoos yesterday on their forearms stating "Let It Be," which was a tattoo that Gabby had as well. All right, next to the docket, let's talk about the power and influence that the Murdoch family had in South Carolina. Now, obviously, we know Alex Murdoch is in a lot of trouble. His wife and son were murdered. His son was looking at criminal charges for a boating accident. He's been arrested for the fake suicide, the theft, and and the theft from his law firm. And so he's got a lot of trouble. And this is a example of how quickly people's lives can change. And it sounds like old Alex Murdoch basically took it for granted that he could do really whatever he wanted. And then he figured out that he couldn't. So for the past century, the Murdochs have steered much of the legal world in the remote corner of South Carolina, north of Savannah, Georgia, and far from the interstate or just about anything else. Now, running the prosecutor's office and a large civil law firm allowed the Murdochs to do it quietly until recently. Now, if you ask any of the 2,600 residents of Hampton, South Carolina, if they know Alex Murdoch, you'll get a firm headshake followed by, "You're not going to quote me, are you?" Like many people in town, Curtis Eddie Smith, the man who was paid by Alex Murdoch to shoot him in the head, unsuccessfully, I might add, got entangled with the Murdochs in a courtroom in Hampton County. Basically, if you stole something or had something stolen from you, the Murdochs ran your case for the state. They were the prosecutors. If you got hurt on the job, the Murdochs took you on as a client. And if you had a charity or another cause, the Murdochs donated. The family has given millions to all sorts of projects and charities. But plenty of people tell hushed stories of what happened if the Murdochs were crossed. Despite long staying out of headlines, the Murdochs aren't strangers to their own legal troubles. Alex Murdoch's great-grandfather, Randolph, founded the family firm in 1920 and became the elected prosecutor for the five-county region, including Hampton County. Now, Randolph Murdoch died when his car was hit by a train as he headed home from a poker game in 1940. His son, Randolph Buster Murdoch Jr., took over the firm and the position as prosecutor. He served for 46 years, with the exception of several months awaiting a federal trial over tipping off a local moonshine. He served for 46 years, with the exception of several months awaiting federal trial over tipping off a local moonshiner to move his still. 18 of 23 defendants were found guilty, but Buster was acquitted and returned to office, even as the judge noted that if he were Murdoch, he could not go back and face his people, much less resume public office, according to some federal records. Now, Buster was larger than life in court, and he had been admonished more than once by the state Supreme Court for improper arguments as the prosecutor. He would tell juries he wouldn't try another death penalty case or would release rapists awaiting trial if verdicts didn't go his way. Randolph Murdoch III followed his father, taking over in 1986 and serving almost 20 years. Neither of his sons followed him into the solicitor's chair, although Alex Murdoch worked as a volunteer prosecutor before his law license was suspended in September, as he was fired from the family's law firm over millions of dollars turning up missing. Now, in civil law, the Murdochs were known for suing railroads. A now-repealed South Carolina law allowed anyone who wanted to sue a railroad to choose any county in the state. The Murdochs found sympathetic juries and made Hampton County known for seven-figure verdicts. And Alex Murdoch, 53, remains in an out-of-state rehab facility awaiting trial, obviously on the charges of insurance fraud and filing a false police report. Now, through his lawyer, Murdoch adamantly denied having anything to do with the deaths of his wife, Maggie, and son, Paul. Now, as we know, Paul was awaiting trial for the boating accident that involved the death of Mallory Beach. Now, a federal judge last week ruled that a Pennsylvania-based insurance company is not on the hook for any potential liabilities generated by suspended South Carolina attorney Richard Alec Murdoch or his son, Richard Alexander Buster Murdoch Jr., in connection with the death of a teen in a 2019 boating accident. At issue were a $3 million commercial liability insurance policy and a $5 million umbrella protection policy Murdoch tried unsuccessfully to argue covered any potential damage in the underlying beach lawsuit. The federal judge, Sherry Linden, explained in her decision the insurance company raised 5 arguments as to why it should not pay for any damages or pay to defend the Murdochs. First, the Murdochs' defendants are not insured under the policy. Second, the policies only provide coverage for bodily injury that arises out of private hunting operations. Third, the underlying lawsuit does not allege an occurrence, lawyer stuff there for particularly insurance types. And four, the watercraft exclusion applies to excluded coverage. And finally, fifth, because there is no coverage, it has no duty to defend or indemnify. Now, the Murdochs countered that the insurance company's legal position rendered its policy merely illusory, which means that the Murdochs alleged they were given the illusion that they were covered when indeed they were not. Now, the judge then ruled against the Murdochs. South Carolina's illusory coverage doctrine simply does not extend as far as the Murdoch defendants suggest. So what does that really mean? It really means the Murdochs have no coverage. What does that really mean? Mallory Beach's family is going to try to attach any property that the Murdochs have to satisfy any judgment that they ultimately are more than likely going to receive in court. Basically, it means the Murdochs, at least Alex Murdoch, they're done. Buster Murdoch, he's the one, the son that provided the ID to Paul. If he ever has a great paying job, he will probably have a judgment that he's going to have to pay off. I'm telling you, people, don't think that this kind of stuff will ever happen to them. But in the reality of it is, this can happen to anybody. This is life. And a lot of people do take a little bit of pleasure watching the rich and powerful basically fall. And I've said it once and I'll say it again. There's two types of people in the world, ladies and gentlemen. Those that are humble and those that are about to be. Alex Murdoch has been humbled. All right, R. Kelly. Yesterday we brought you the story that the jury was deliberating. And then we had to add a little thing saying, don't listen to me. The jury's found R. Kelly or Robert Sylvester Kelly guilty of all counts. That's right. 54-year-old Kelly was found guilty Monday of racketeering and sex trafficking charges after a jury credited prosecutors' claim that he engaged in a lengthy, widespread pattern of sexual abuse against women, girls, and boys. Prosecutors had charged him with violating federal anti-racketeering law and the Mann Act, saying he engaged in a criminal enterprise, using his employees and others to coerce victims into sexual acts. The Mann Act makes it a crime to transport any woman or girl for the purpose of prostitution or debauchery or for any other immoral purpose. Now, victims testified that Kelly controlled their lives, made them have sex with him and others, and then videotaped them in these acts when they were minors. And like I said, he was found guilty of all charges. The prosecutors reinforced that old Mr. R. Kelly is not just a celebrity who likes to party, but that he is a predator. And the assistant United States attorney said in closing arguments, he's not a genius, he's a criminal, a predator who used his inner circle to commit crimes with impunity for decades. Prosecutors say that Kelly married now deceased R&B singer Aaliyah. We're going to go with that, and I'm sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. When she was 15, in order to benefit from spousal privilege, because R. Kelly was worried that she was pregnant. Now, most victims were women and girls, but Kelly was also accused of abusing 2 boys, including one he called nephew. Now, Kelly's attorney said that his client treated girlfriends like gold, giving them shopping sprees, parties, and money, and he argued that the docuseries Surviving R. Kelly ruined the singer's reputation and that the women jumped ship, backstabbing him to get book deals and lawsuits. Now, one could also say that all those gifts and parties and what have you was also part of the grooming process that predators do to make them look like the good guys when in fact they're truly the bad guys. Now, racketeering carries a maximum penalty of 20 years and then each count of the Mann Act, and there are at least 8 counts, carries a possible 10-year sentence. Now, under the federal sentencing guidelines, the court will calculate the appropriate sentence being obviously sufficient, but no greater than reasonably necessary to make sure that Mr. Kelly is sentenced appropriately. I'm thinking it's going to be right around the 30-year mark. We'll wait and see. But even if Mr. R. Kelly gets sentenced and goes to prison for many, many years and will probably die in prison, well, he also faces a federal case in Illinois for alleged obstruction of justice and inappropriate images of children, and then a state case in Illinois for alleged aggravated criminal sexual abuse. R. Kelly wishes he could fly for sure, far, far away from here. All right, next on the docket, TikTok shooter goes NGRI. Jose Jimenez, the man charged with fatally shooting TikTok star Anthony Barajas and college student Riley Goodrich at a California movie theater this summer, is seeking an insanity defense. Now, Barajas, who's 19, and Goodrich, 18, were shot on July 26 as they watched the Forever Purge at the Regal Edwards Corona Crossing in Corona, California. The pair had gone to the 9:35 p.m. showing of the movie, which is the fifth installment of the Purge film franchise, where murder and mayhem are legal for one day a year. Now, according to the district attorney's office, the two were found shot in the head when the theater employees went inside the auditorium to clean up after the movie ended. Goodrich was pronounced dead at the scene, while Barajas was rushed to a nearby hospital and placed on life support. Jimenez was arrested after detectives served a search warrant at his home in El Cerrito and found a firearm that matched the caliber of the weapon used in the killing, along with other evidence related to the crime scene. Now, a hearing has been set for October 22nd for attorneys to discuss the appointment of a defense doctor to evaluate Jimenez. Now, Jimenez has waived his right to attend the hearing and is due back in court on January 28th of 2022. Another NGRI case, ladies and gentlemen, it seems like it is the flavor of the month, or is it we just have more and more people with mental health issues that are just doing things that are against the law? We'll find out if it's really against the law or whether he was truly insane. All right, next on the docket, a lot of fires in California. Well, this woman that's been accused of starting one of the fires is not exactly Smokey the Bear. The woman who is alleged to have ignited the ongoing Fawn fire in California could be connected to another recent wildfire, according to investigators. Now, the governor proclaimed a state of emergency for another area called Shasta County on Monday due to the Fawn fire, which as of Monday had burned nearly 8,500 acres. This fire began on Wednesday, September 22nd, and has caused thousands to be forced to evacuate affected areas. 30-year-old Alexandra Soverneva is facing a felony arson charge with an enhancement of committing arson during a state emergency. Now, since the fire is continuing to develop, the charges could change to reflect damages and possibly even death. So according to documents filed by the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection Law Enforcement Officers, they obtained the local outlet record searchlight, and the authorities claim that Alexandra said she was hiking to Canada when she tried to filter, then boil water from a puddle to drink. Now, on her person, she allegedly had a CO2 cartridge, a lighter, and a green leafy substance she admitted to smoking that day. Now, Alexandria pled not guilty and is next due in court on October 5th with a preliminary hearing set for the following day. And according to reports, Alexandra is a former yoga instructor. A former colleague told the news that she was into conservation and forests, and that she would have been the last person who could be involved in something like this. She may very well like the outdoors, but if you set the ground on fire, you're probably at least negligent in your actions, if not reckless, since you know that, you know, basically California is really dry this time of year, and the smallest flame could ignite something big, and people and property could be killed and damaged. So people just never learn. What does old Smokey Bear say, right? Put out the fire. Don't do it. Simple stuff, right? There's an easy way and there's a hard way. Everybody always picks the hard way. Next, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. A customer shopping for a used car the other day discovered a naked woman pleasuring herself in the rear seat of a 2010 Jeep Wrangler parked outside a Florida auto dealership. Now, when the dealership manager opened the Jeep's door, the manager said he spotted a woman later identified as Alexis King, naked with her legs spread wide open. Now, after Ms. King exited the car and walked away from the dealership, employees noticed damage to the car's interior, including a broken radio and a stain on the back seat. Manager estimates that the damage caused by Ms. King is $1,300. King was charged with burglary, criminal mischief, indecent exposure, and providing police with a false name. She's being held in jail on a $7,000 bond. What is it with people trying to pleasure themselves in places other than their own room? Get a room, ladies and gentlemen. Get a room. But that's right. Ms. King is our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Faces a lot of competition, like every day our dumb criminals face competition. But if they are crowned the winner, the dumb criminal contestant of the week, that's right, they get cool Crime Talk gear. Now, if you'd like to get cool Crime Talk gear, that's right, hit the link below, take you right there. They got shirts, they got mugs, they got cool stuff. If you don't want it, that's great, but it's at least worth checking it out. All right, that's all we have for you today. Do not forget, tonight is our live show, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Be here. We have a lot to talk about. Obviously, things going on in the news. And it looks like a bunch of federal judges forget that they have to follow the law. We'll talk about that as well. So please join us tonight. Have a wonderful day. Stay safe, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.